Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again, and we're going to pick up our study here in Mark chapter 14. Verse number 12, Mark 14, verse number 12. And the scripture says, "In the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." So our Lord Jesus is asked by some of the disciples, where do you want to observe the Passover? And the Lord takes two brethren. It doesn't tell us in the scriptures who they were. I kind of wonder, because of the Lord sending Peter and John to go and fetch the colt upon which he made his triumphant entry I kind of wonder if it's maybe not them. That's kind of the pattern that we see in the scriptures and other things. Nevertheless, it doesn't say who, but he told them, go into Jerusalem. That's the city he's referring to. And there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And so I wonder about that. Did the man look to meet them, or was he just passing that way as Peter and John came into the city? Nevertheless, he follows the man, and wherever the man went in, they declared unto the owner of the house, the steward of the house, at the very least, the goodman of the house, the master says, "Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" And so the Lord knows all things. He knows every single thing, and he can direct in anything. And even in this, he shows our brethren and us that he is in control of all things. And so he says he'll show you an upper room furnished and prepared. He said, make ready there the Passover for us. And his disciples, verse 16, went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. You know, sure enough, Jesus said it, and that's what they found. They found it ready, just like Jesus said. And Mark writes that in his gospel. They came into the city and found as he had said unto them. Well, sure. Whatever the Lord says, that's the way it's going to be. And you know, we need to hear our Lord in everything that he says. You know, he says to sinners, repent and believe the gospel. He says unto his children, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says unto his church, spread the gospel to every creature, baptize those who believe, and then teach them to observe the all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's the instruction of our Lord. He says, love the Lord with everything, every whit of your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the Lord tells us to do, and may we hear him. Our world would be a better and different place. Our culture would not be so rotten if we would hear the true words of the Lord. There cannot be enough laws made. We say often there needs to be another law made for this and for that. And you know what? Really, the making of more and more and more and more and more laws, the lack of upholding the laws that we have as a nation, it just shows our terrible condition. A people that would follow the Lord and obey their God, obey Jehovah God, God Almighty, and his Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. If we would obey them, we wouldn't need a bunch of laws. But nevertheless, here we are. May our Lord help us. And so they found as he had said unto them. Verse 17, and in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. So the Lord knows this in advance. We need to understand the Lord knew everything that would come upon him. in his ministry and even in his the fulfilling of his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. And so he declares it unto the disciples. In this, really, he's manifesting his power indeed. He knows that he's going to be betrayed. He's not afraid to tell them that he's going to be betrayed. And then, indeed, he allows himself to be betrayed. He's not afraid at all. In this, he is not afraid. And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And so here we see that Judas is not known to the disciples. They don't say automatically, "Oh, yeah, I've been kind of watching Judas and I've been kind of wondering about him." No, it's nothing like that at all. They don't know that it's Judas. They're even asking of themselves, "Is it going to be me that's going to betray you? Is it going to be me?" And he answered and said unto them, "It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish." And so it's one of the apostles that's very near eating with the Lord. He says, "The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." What a great statement, and a statement for pause here. It's written that the Lord's going to be betrayed. It's necessary for the Lord to be betrayed. Kind of hard. That makes us scratch our heads and kind of rankles our minds. But it's necessary for the Lord Jesus to be betrayed. And he said, "Woe unto that man that does the betrayal. It would have been better if he hadn't been born." It's going to be a terrible condemnation to bear to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, to be possessed by Satan and to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a terrible use of life and ability. It'd be better that if he wouldn't have been born. That's what the Lord says. It'd be better if he had never lived. What a terrible, terrible thing. What a terrible condemnation. Woe to that man. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." The Lord Jesus here is instituting the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial supper. Now, don't ever let anybody tell you or feed you the bill of goods that the Lord's Supper or communion, as some refer to it, which it is communion. It is true that word does explain and tell, signify what it is. It's our fellowship with Christ, our very close fellowship with Christ. But I prefer to call it the Lord's Supper. Don't ever let anybody sell you the bill of goods that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament, that you must keep the Lord's Supper in order to keep your salvation, that you must keep the Lord's Supper in order to continue to have grace bestowed by God. You know, there's blessing and obedience from our Lord, and the Scripture is very clear about that. Our Lord Jesus is very clear about that. But if someone is saved and never observes the Lord's Supper, they're still saved. Because when Jesus saves, he gives everlasting life. Some view that baptism or what folks call baptism by sprinkling or pouring or whatever. And there's different facets and aspects of that. Some people believe that anybody can be taken and baptized, quote unquote, and be made saved, or that baptism finishes salvation. Some even refer to baptism as a sacrament also. Don't ever let anybody feed you that bill of goods. It's not so. Baptism is a point of obedience for those who are saved, but it's to portray something that the Lord has already done. When the Lord saves the sinner, they're saved, their soul is saved, and the Spirit of God lives within, and one day the Lord's going to glorify them, a period. And then as they are able to live, the thief on the cross who was saved by the Lord Jesus, he wasn't allowed to live very long, was he, after he was saved? But you know what? He's in glory with our Lord now. And there's no special exception for him. There's some would say he's in the Old Testament dispensation. No, Old Testament dispensation. The Old Testament, look up that word dispensation. It's talking about stewardship. The Lord is saved by grace through faith from the beginning, from Adam even until the last person that'll ever be saved. That sinner, that thief on the cross was saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his words testify so. Just like Adam was saved, and just like the last sinner that will be saved by repentance and faith in Christ, without the need of any sacrament that needs to be applied or needs to be fulfilled. And so the Lord here is instituting the Lord's Supper, and he's instituting it for the family of God. No, not for the family of God, but for his church. Who's at hand? Well, namely, the ones that are closest to him there are the 12 apostles. And even a lost man is there, Judas. We know Judas is not saved because he betrays the Lord and he bails out on the whole thing. And the Lord declares it so, and he's not a saved man. Saved men are not possessed by Satan because the Lord lives within. And so he institutes the Lord's Supper as a memorial to remember his death until he comes. That's the purpose of it. The baptism, the other ordinance given to the Lord's churches, to give an authority. You know, you just don't go out and baptize yourself. You don't go out and baptize somebody else unless you have the authority of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. They're called Baptist in this day. They haven't always been called Baptist, but one of the Lord's churches that have been all along the way since the time of Christ left his church there in Jerusalem. And so he's instituting this supper to remember the Lord's death, and as it is called, and as the scripture even refers to it, this communion, how it is that signifies, it symbolizes our full partaking of Christ. We need to take his body. We need his body, his sacrifice of himself on the cross of Calvary. We need that applied to us and working in us more than we need food. And he says, take, eat. This bread symbolizes my body. Transubstantiation that universalists believe in. It's not so. Christ was crucified once. It's a shame. The scripture is clear to crucify Christ afresh. It's a shame to do that. Jesus died once by himself for the sins of his people, and he's alive forevermore. The bread doesn't turn into the body of Christ. It represents the body of Christ. Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. I'll give the law, and you keep it. It didn't work, and it was necessary. It wasn't a surprise to God. It wasn't like, oh, God, it gave the first testament and giving the law for men to keep, and then they didn't keep it, and God's fretting about what he's going to do. No, it was a stepping stone. It was necessary. It tells us in the book of Romans the law was necessary to show us our sin, to make it very plain and clear that we're all guilty before God. And so Jesus says, this is the blood of the New Testament. I've got a New Testament. I've got a new covenant that I'll keep completely. And you know what? I've sealed it with my blood, not the blood of bulls and goats and other sacrifices, but with my own precious blood that I seal it with, which is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And notice the Lord doesn't say all, but he says many. Well, I see that our time is past for now. May our Lord bless you with his word and his truth, the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.